with us. We're thankful that you're here with us today. And if you're joining us on Zoom, we're thankful that you're here listening in as well. We have a great honor and a privilege to surround God's throne, joining with the heavenly chorus that sings, "Holy, holy, holy," as we've just sung. May we always be humbled as we come into an assembly like this, remembering what a solemn and a joyful thing this is to come into God's presence. Can you think of anything in your life that you cannot live without? Something that you would rather die than not have? I know that a lot of times we talk in exaggerated terms about, I can't live without, I don't know, indoor plumbing. I mean, that's something that we take for granted. But if push comes to shove, we could learn to live without indoor plumbing. And so I'm not talking about something like we might talk about in exaggerated terms, but seriously, is there something in your life that you seriously could not live without? In Psalm 63, we find something that David could not live without. He says in Psalm 63, verse 3, "Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you." This is a psalm that David wrote when he was in the wilderness of Judah. You see that in the subscript there. And we can presume that he is fleeing from Saul at this point, and he is running from place to place. His life is at stake. And what he says is, "Your steadfast love, O God, is better than life, and so I will praise you." For David, God's loving kindness, God's unfailing love was better than life itself. Think about that. The preciousness of God's unconditional and God's steadfast love for him was better than living. This morning, I want us to think about God's unfailing love. What is God's steadfast love? What is his loving kindness? And what is it, what's so wonderful about it that David would say that it's better than life itself? If you'll open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34, in Exodus chapter 34, we find one of the most important statements about God's love. Actually, it comes from God's own mouth. You remember what's going on here. The people of Israel have come out of Egypt, and they're at the foot of Mount Sinai. And Moses has delivered to them the commandments of the Lord. And Moses has gone back up to the mountain to receive more instruction from the Lord. And what are the people doing? They're surrounding a golden calf that they've fashioned into a god, and they're worshiping it. They're worshiping it as if this is their god that came, that brought them out of the land of Egypt. And so when Moses comes down from the mountain and he sees what they're doing, he throws the tablets of stone at the foot of the mountain, and he's angry, rightly so. And so he goes back up on the mountain to intercede for the Lord. And in Exodus 34, God himself reveals himself to Moses. In Exodus 34, in verse 5, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations.'" So as Moses is seeing a portion of God and hearing God explain himself in verse 6, he hears God say, "The Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness," or unfailing love, or steadfast love. As I said, this is one of the most important places we find God God's steadfast love being described here. He describes himself in those terms. These are his words that he is using to explain himself to Moses. The word that's translated loving kindness or steadfast love is the Hebrew word hesed. And depending on your translation may render that word differently in this passage. If you're reading the King James, it will say goodness. ESV, steadfast love. CSB is faithful love. New Living Translation, unfailing love. The NET Bible, loyal love. And in my translation, loving kindness. The variety of those translations there should tell us that the translators are struggling to come up with one single way to convey this word. And indeed, this is, from what I understand, a very difficult concept to convey. There is no single word in English that fully conveys the idea of hesed, or steadfast love. This word is found in the Old Testament approximately 250 times. And it's translated, again, with a variety of different words. Mercy, compassion, grace, and loyalty. And this word is actually so unique and so special and so difficult to kind of convey in our language that when the Bible was translated into English in 1535, the editors of the Coverdale Bible had to come up with a word. They made up a word that has found its way into our translations today. And the word is loving kindness. The word had never existed until that point. And so they came up with a word to try to convey something of this idea of God's hesed, God's steadfast, unchanging nature of compassion and grace, to capture its sense. And if you look at Exodus 34 in verse 6, at the end of that verse, it says that the Lord is abounding in loving kindness, or hesed, and truth. Those two ideas go together, this idea of steadfast, unchanging love, loyal, faithful love, and truth, or a different translation is faithfulness. And so what we have here is God describes himself as a God who is loving, compassionate, gracious, but he's faithfully so. This is a dependable love. It's a dependable grace that he is described as having. This word is just remarkable because it conveys the many facets of the love of God. I love how Paul describes the Lord's love in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. He prays that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height and breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. So he's describing those dimensions there. He says that There's no way to measure them. There's no way to explain it all fully. There's no way to fully understand the dimensions of God's love. And I think that word hesed kind of conveys this. God's steadfast, faithful, never-changing love for his people. And if you remember what's going on in Exodus 34 as God is speaking those words, it really kind of fleshes that out. I mean, God could destroy his nation right then and there. But because Moses has interceded for them, the Lord has relented. And you see in that his steadfast, unfailing love for those people. And the Lord is very gracious and compassionate to forgive them, even after they forgot him and were not loyal to him at all. Moses says, Lord, remember your covenant that you've made with these people. Remember your covenant with Abraham. And because of that, the Lord says, I will remember. And I will be loyal to my covenant and faithful to what I said. There are two famous Old Testament stories that I think really well illustrate this idea of steadfast or faithful love. Ruth is the first one. If you'll turn to Ruth really quickly. Remember the story of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite woman who married into Naomi's family. She married one of her sons. And as Naomi is venturing, journeying into Moabite territory because there's no food in her own land. All of the men in her life die. Not only does her husband die, but her two sons die, leaving her with nothing and only her daughters-in-law. And so as she decides she's going to go back to the land where she came from, she tells her daughters-in-law to remain in the land, remain in their homeland. And in verse 8, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." The word that's translated kindly is the word hesed. May the Lord show you steadfast love as you have shown that to me. Now, Ruth and Orpah at this point had been steadfast in their love for Naomi. They'd been there to provide for her and help her. They hadn't given up on her. And so they're not obligated to go back with Naomi. And yet she's insisting, I want you to stay. I want you to stay here in your own homeland. And so Orpah does. But if you look at verse 15, she said to Ruth, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me and worse if anything but death parts you and me." The word hesed is not used in that statement, those statements that Ruth says there, but it conveys the idea that she doesn't have to stay with Naomi. She has fulfilled her covenant obligations to her family, and yet she's willing to go above and beyond. Ruth illustrates what steadfast love is about in highlighting its gracious character. This idea of steadfast love or unfailing love extends beyond what is normally expected or required. Ruth didn't have to do what she did, but she did anyway for Naomi's good. And later on in Ruth chapter 3, when Ruth has met Boaz and it becomes clear that he is the closest, or what she thinks of as the closest redeemer to them, closest relative, and she's proposing marriage in that weird sort of way. She's laying at his feet, uncovering his feet. Listen to what Boaz says. Ruth chapter 3, verse 10, he says to her, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness, your last hesed, or faithful love, to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich." So he says, this thing that you have done to enter into a covenant marriage with me is even greater than what you did for Naomi. She went above and beyond to make sure that her household was prepared, was provided for. And so you see Ruth showing its gracious character. It goes above and beyond what is required or what is expected normally. That's what steadfast love is all about. And then there's another story in David's life that illustrates what steadfast, faithful love is about. You probably remember in 1 Samuel chapter 20 when David and Jonathan are interacting, as it becomes very clear that Saul wants David dead. Jonathan makes David promise. He makes him swear that when he becomes king, he will be kind to his family and his household. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14, Jonathan says, "If I am still alive, will you not show me the loving kindness of the Lord that I may not die? Show me the steadfast, unfailing love of the Lord that I may not die. You shall not cut off your loving kindness from my house forever, not even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." And so he makes this promise, "I'm going to show kindness to you. I'm going to show this faithful, steadfast, covenant loyalty to you." And then when David becomes king in 2 Samuel chapter 9, remember how he did that? Saul is dead. Jonathan is dead. David is now reigning as king. He could have easily forgotten about this promise that he made to Jonathan. There is no really advantage to David himself for what he did. But in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1, he said, "Is there yet anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness?" Steadfast love chesed for Jonathan's sake. And so he calls for Saul's servant, and it becomes evident that Mephibosheth is there. And Mephibosheth, of course, is lame. And he brings him, and he brings him to the table, and he's provided for the rest of his life from David's own household. David's kindness to Mephibosheth shows steadfast love. It shows its reliable nature, that it is faithful, it is reliable, it is loyal to covenant promises, even when they could easily be forgotten. When we read in our Bibles this word loving kindness, or maybe sometimes just kindness, a lot of times, I mean, kind is not one of those really descriptive words. Kind, a lot of times, just means nice. When you're nice to somebody, you're kind to them. That's not what this word in the Bible means. It's not just niceness, but instead, it is loyalty. It is loyal, faithful love. It is grace that is shown because of a previous promise that was made. And so these two stories show us this is the way God loves us. God loves us graciously, and he loves us faithfully. God loves us in the same ways. God's loving kindness to us is indeed better than life. I mentioned at the beginning of the lesson that this word hesed is used about 250 times in the Old Testament. But there's one book in the Bible that it is used by far the most. And if you just had to guess, just from knowing something about the Old Testament, what book of the Bible might you guess that this word is used most often in the Old Testament? You don't have to speak it out loud, but just think about maybe reading the Old Testament before. Where have you heard about the steadfast love of the Lord before? It's found in the book of Psalms. Almost half of those times. 127 times this word is used in the book of Psalms. To give you an idea of how that should stand out, the second book that this word is used most often is the book of 2 Samuel, and there it's only used 12 times. So the book of Psalms shows us the steadfast love of the Lord. The preciousness of God's steadfast love is reflected in God's people's hearts as they pray to the Lord and they record those prayers in Psalms, or they sing songs and compose hymns to the Lord. They talk about the steadfast love of the Lord. So for the remainder of our time this morning, I want us to think about the steadfast love of the Lord in the Psalms. What exactly does the steadfast love and his faithful love mean to us? What does it mean to God's people? First of all, the Psalms tell us that the strong build their confidence upon God's unfailing love. Psalm 21 in verse 7, the King David is thanking the Lord for his goodness to him and the blessings that he has as king. And he says, "The king trusts in the Lord, and through the loving kindness of the Most High, he will not be shaken." David was strong. He was firm in his faith because of God's steadfast, unfailing love. In Psalm 144, he describes his strength as a warrior. Indeed, David was a strong warrior. But where did that strength come from? In Psalm 144, verse 1, he says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me." When David was strong, it was because of the Lord's steadfast love, because he built his trust and he built his understanding and he built his strength upon God himself. When you are strong, where do you draw that strength from? Do you draw it from God or do you draw it from yourself? If you want to be truly strong, draw your strength from God's unfailing love, because you know God's love isn't going anywhere. God's love for you will be unending. Draw your strength from that relationship. The Psalms also tell us that the penitent, when they sin, they appeal to God's unfailing love. Psalm 25, verse 6. David writes, "Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, your unfailing love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord." When David was in sin, he said to the Lord, "Please don't remember my sins. Instead, remember how good you are. Remember what you said about yourself, how your love is indeed unfailing and steadfast." And of course, in the famous Psalm 51, after David sinned with Bathsheba and murdered her husband, he says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness." Be gracious to me. Why? Because I deserve it. Be gracious to me, God, because I am so righteous in your eyes, because of all the good that I have done. No, he says, because of your loving kindness, your steadfast love. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. God's steadfast love means a lot to God's people when they're penitent. They know that forgiveness isn't based upon what we deserve, but it's based upon God's merciful and God's compassionate character, God's faithful love. And when people are forgiven, when God's people are redeemed, they give thanks and rejoice in God's unfailing love. Look at Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verses 1 through 3. David says, "I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. On the day that I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul." David did not forget what the Lord had done for him. He said, "I will give thanks to you. I will rejoice in you because of your steadfast love, your loving kindness." But he didn't just thank the Lord. He spoke openly of what the Lord had done for him. In Psalm 40, verses 9 and 10, David writes, "I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart, but I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation." David was not afraid. He was not ashamed. In fact, he was very bold to speak openly of God's steadfast love and his unfailing faithfulness to him. God's people thank him often and are not ashamed to speak openly of God's goodness in the Psalms. Psalms also show us that God's steadfast love means a lot to those that are doubting or to those that are despairing. Psalm 42, the Psalm of the sons of Korah, in verse 5, he's kind of having this inner conversation with himself, and he says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you so discouraged? Why are you so depressed? Why are you disturbed within me?" He says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." There are times in our lives when we go through despair, and we go through times when we are really, really low. In verse 6, he says, "Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan." These psalms are expressions that help us work through those times. But what was it that the psalmist remembered during this time? In verse 8, he says, "The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, the prayer and a prayer to the God of my life." When the psalmist was in despair, he remembered God's steadfast love. He remembered how good God is and how faithful he is. In Psalm 94, here's another example. Psalm 94, verses 18 and 19. Well, backing up to verse 17, he says, "If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have dwelt in the abode of silence." Basically, he's saying, if God had not helped me, then I would have died. I would have been dead by this point. "If I should say," in verse 18, "if I should say, my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, Your consolations delight my soul. The despairing, the doubting, those who are questioning, those who are suffering, those who are going through hard times, they support their faith through those times, building their confidence, remembering God's goodness and God's unfailing love. So do the persecuted. And those that are lonely, they watch for God's unfailing love. Psalm 69 is one of the psalms that points us to Jesus in a more clear and more direct way. Jesus actually quotes from Psalm 69 on the cross. But in verse 13, Psalm 69 verse 13, he says, "As for you, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time. O God, in the greatness of your loving kindness, answer me with your saving truth." He is appealing to God. He's praying to God, "Help me." He's lonely. He's suffering at this time. In verse 14, "Deliver me from the mire and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters. May the flood of water not overflow me, nor the deep swallow me up, nor the pit shut its mouth on me." Have you ever been through a time when you felt like you were overwhelmed by life? Where you were completely swallowed up? Maybe felt like you were drowning in responsibilities? Or as he's going through here, drowning in loneliness and suffering and persecution? He appeals to the loving kindness of the Lord in verse 13. "Answer me with your saving truth." The persecuted and the lonely watch. They look for God's unfailing love. In Psalm 59, verses 9 and 10, psalmist says, "Because of his strength," the strength of the enemy who opposes him, "because of his strength, I will watch for you, for God is my stronghold. My God, in his loving kindness, will meet me. God will let me look triumphantly upon my foes." I love that in verse 10. My God will meet me in his loving kindness. In his steadfast love, he will meet me. That's what Job wanted. Job wanted to meet God face to face and receive an answer for why he was suffering what he was. He never did. He never met the Lord face to face. The Lord spoke with him, and he never gave him an answer. But one of the things that I think Job learned through all of that is to not give up on God and to not give up on the Lord, because indeed he is steadfast in his love for his people. So when you're persecuted or you're lonely, when evil seems so strong and overwhelming and oppressive, God's people wait for God's steadfast love to deliver them. Finally, the hungry feast on God's steadfast love through his word. Psalm 119, you know it as a psalm that's all about the word of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 124. Psalm 119, verse 124. "Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach your statutes." Again, in verse 159, "Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness, your steadfast, unfailing love." God's people know that he has made himself known through his word. And that in and of itself is a show of God's unfailing love. The fact that he hasn't just left us alone to kind of figure things out on our own, but rather he has shown himself, he has spoken to us through his word. That shows unfailing, steadfast love. And so if we are like these in the Psalms, we are strong in his love. We are building our confidence on him. If we're going through difficult times, we watch for it. We look for God's word. If we're despairing or we're penitent, we look for God's unfailing love. We feast continually on his word, because in those things, in his words, we know him better, and his promises are confirmed. So yes, God's unfailing love is better than life. Hope that you were able to see this morning that God's faithful love should be everything to us, should mean more to us than life. It is everything to God's people. But of course, the greatest display of God's faithful love is what God has done through Jesus himself. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Paul says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God did not leave us alone, but rather he reached out to us, and he made provisions for us to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. Indeed, he is faithful love. We sing often that song, Faithful Love. We've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name. If you want to know something about the faithful, steadfast love of God, look at what he did for us on the cross. And if this morning you need to respond to that, if you know that you're in sin, know that you're lost without him, and you want to make your life right with him, we're here to help you. If you believe in Jesus and you're ready to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, we've got a baptistry right behind you. We'd be willing to do that this morning. And if, as a Christian, you need help or encouragement in some way, we're here to help you as well. Whatever you need, remember the steadfast love of the Lord and make that known as we stand and as we sing.